during 2021, we should be able to manufacture a lot of vaccines. And that vaccine, a key goal is to stop the transmission, to get the immunity levels up so that you get almost no infection going on whatsoever.
Everyone who takes the vaccine is not just protecting themselves, but reducing their transmission to other people and allowing society to get back to normal.
We can kind of almost see the end. We're vaccinating so very fast. Our data from the CDC today suggests, that vaccinated people do not carry the virus, don't get sick.
Now we know that the vaccines work well enough that the virus stops with every vaccinated person. A vaccinated person gets exposed to the virus. The virus does not infect them. The virus cannot then use that person to go anywhere else. It cannot use a vaccinated person as a host to go get more people. That means the vaccines will get us to the end of this.
Essentially, vaccines block you from getting and giving the virus.
Fully vaccinated people are at a very, very low risk of getting COVID-19. Therefore, if you've been fully vaccinated, you no longer need to wear a mask.
When people are vaccinated, they can feel safe that they are not going to get infected.
We have all the vaccines we need. We just need our people to take it. A, for their own protection, for the protection of their family, but also to break the chain of transmission. You want to be a dead end to the virus. So when the virus gets to you, you stop it. You don't allow it to use you as the stepping stone to the next person. I think given the country as a whole, the fact that we have now about 50% of adults fully vaccinated and about 62% of adults having received at least one dose, as a nation, I feel fairly certain you're not going to see the kind of surges we've seen in the past.
If you're vaccinated, you're not going to be hospitalized. You're not going to be in an ICU unit, and you're not going to die. You're okay. You're not going to get COVID if you have these vaccinations.
Yeah.
Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours.
Tuesday, December 28th, 2021. Thank you for joining me today. And I'm still laughing from that intro. It's just that ridiculous. As much as it shouldn't really be funny, because it's pretty outrageous to see that they've been lying to you, at the very least, that they don't know what's going on. You can look at that however you want. Either they're lying, they don't really know, or they don't care. Either way, it should come down to the fact that you shouldn't be forced to do something that you don't want to do based on those people telling you you should. It's incredible to watch. And today's going to be a very focused show, specifically on digital identification, vaccine passports, but starting with how their lies have been now proven to be lies, or at the very least, again, that they were just catastrophically wrong over and over, and how that leads into justifying passports? No, leading into the obvious reality that we shouldn't be forced to take something or forced into a position where we should be forced to take anything based off of a situation where they've been repeatedly wrong about why we should be forced, the efficacy of the injection, whether or not it does what they say it does, on and on and on. So you don't just skip over those things and say, we'll force it first and then we'll figure it out afterward, which is sort of what they keep trying to do. Well, we'll never really know until we get it into the population, they say quietly when you're not supposed to be paying attention. That's how this whole thing has gone. You are essentially the test subjects. And it continues until 2022 and so on, as the Pfizer documentation makes clear. But today we're going to start directly with the illusion. The illusion of what they've continued to tell you. Some of the points we've already made, such as nurses being rehired, and kind of segue this into the conversation about the different ways they've lied or been wrong, such as it doesn't stop transmission, as you just saw, or that Omicron will be stopped, neutralized by the third shot. We all see these things turning out to be false, and you were told by people like me, I was told by people such as other experts that that would be the case months ago. And as you've heard me say many times, we were censored for talking about it before. So let's start off with a little preamble into that trail of events and show you exactly not only how this has been something that they've been lying about the whole time, but that they've been planning this long before COVID-19. That's the important part. Your digital identification, or rather their digital identification infrastructure, or the agenda around it has been discussed and planned and mapped out long before this. And whether COVID was used to make this happen or it was just simply never let a good crisis go to waste, one kind of moment, that's where we are now. And it's really important for you to see the bigger picture. So let's start off with some of the things we just discussed. And this is just important to lay the foundation. As for those that may not have seen the other show, they're now asking unjabbed workers in many locations to come back to work because the triple boosted good people, the good ones, right? The people with morals and integrity out there that did what they were told are all getting sick. I shouldn't say all, being facetious, but in cases we see triple jabbed nurses leaving with COVID, they're told, they're actually hiring back the nurses that left out of protest without getting any. And they're good. Many of which most likely have natural immunity, as even they've admitted to in the past. And I'm going to show you a clip in the middle of the show today where Fauci seems to be grudgingly admitting that there is such a thing as natural immunity. Oh my God, you mean that conspiracy theory? Well, as you might have seen in the past, here's an actual video of one of these nurses showing you that she's being asked back to work. Incredible. I know we played this on a previous show. Just to start this off by realizing that so it's arbitrary. Right. So if they're all going to get everybody sick and we're all going to die if we don't fire these people, and then the moment that it doesn't work for them anymore, they go, well, okay, come back. Well, wait a minute. Weren't they going to kill us all? And now they just come back because you need people? So how does that actually make sense? Either they were wrong to begin with and they don't want to tell you that now, or they were lying to you to begin with and they just hoping you don't notice. This is the whole point of today as we go before we get into digital IDs. This keeps happening. Now, here's an interesting point that you saw me make on the 23rd. If you saw my Twitter post, then I believe I talked about it either that night or the next show. This is CBS News reporting CDC shortens isolation time just for healthcare workers who test positive for COVID. Now, how does that make sense? Well, you dig into the story and it's not because, well, we realize the science backs up the fact they don't need to do that. Nope. It's simply because short-staffed. That's right. So the thing that we absolutely must do, and if you don't do, you're going to go to jail, they're going to just shorten because we don't have enough people. Okay, yet again. So is that because it wasn't actually as dangerous, or that you're willing to accept the absolute end-all be-all risk that we can't afford because you don't have enough people? Obviously, however you want to frame that, it doesn't make sense. The point is it's arbitrary. As I said, it just keeps getting more ridiculous. They fire all those refusing the jab, likely with natural immunity. Then when those are triple, the triple jabs start getting sick, which is where we are right now, they just arbitrarily change the rules. Why? Because we're short-staffed. Hashtag safety, right? Doing the dangerous thing for your safety, because that's what we seem to be running with these days. Okay. Oh, and then the other point was, I'm not suggesting that these rules should be in place for those that always want to jump down the assumption game. That's not my point there. Here's the actual article. CDC shortens isolation time for healthcare workers who test positive as the Omicron surge threatens staffing. And why is it threatening staffing? Because we fired people that didn't do what they were told, even though many of them might have had natural immunity and they didn't care to check. Doesn't matter, right? It's all about narrative. Now, that was on December 23rd. You remember I talked about it. Here's an interesting point to jump into this illusion as of today. December 28th, that's today. CDC shortens recommended COVID-19 isolation and quarantine time. Now, this may seem to make sense for some people who want to trust them. Well, see, Ryan, it was always going to happen because they just have no science. And that's why they did it then first. And they just slowed, now they brought it to everybody. Well, that could be how you might want to assume. You might want to assume that's how this went. But what's interesting is when you dive into this, doesn't really seem that's what's happening. The U.S. CDC shortened the recommended times that people should isolate when they've tested positive. Now, right then, you should ask, does that mean that we've always been doing longer than we should have this whole time? Well, it's something you should ask. Or if it's just arbitrary, these are questions you should be allowed to ask, which aren't allowed today, from 10 to 5 days, if they don't have symptoms. And if they wear a mask around others for at least 5 more days. Okay, well, that perfectly makes sense. So why would you wear a mask for another 5 days if you are meeting the requirement? Doesn't that seem to suggest that you still might be sick? Like, it just seems so ridiculous. Whatever. Quote, it says, given what we currently know about COVID-19 and the Omicron variant, which before they even make their argument, which is they're very clearly not dangerous for the vast majority of people, and they don't need to do really anything other than just improve their general health. But we'll see what they say. CDC is shortening the recommended time for isolation from 10 days for people with COVID to 5 days, if asymptomatic. which, as you remember, means literally nothing in this whole conversation, because if you're asymptomatic, it almost guarantees that you're not sick in general and that you're not going to be spreading at the very least, as all of the peer-reviewed science around this discussion makes clear. But again, trusting the science is not what the Trust the Science crowd actually does, followed by 5 days of wearing a mask. That's it. So they don't really even get into why. They basically just go, oh, the change is motivated by science demonstrating that this is the case. Right. We don't get to get into that. That's just what they say, which is typically what the CDC does. Now, I'm not even arguing that I can prove that what their science they're claiming is there behind us, which we don't get to see, is wrong, because how could I possibly know that? What I'm saying is we don't have what's in front of us to make their case, to make the case that they're making. And we have multiple examples where the CDC has been caught lying, such as I just talked about today with somebody else, that they pointed to the beginning of the year to make an argument about why it was a pandemic of the unvaccinated. Except when you stand back and realize, wait a minute, she's pointing to a time frame when the vast majority of the population was unvaccinated. Therefore, anything you throw out there is going to probably come back with most of them are unvaccinated. And she used that to argue it was a pandemic of the unvaccinated in a time when most people were vaccinated. If you don't see why that's dishonest, then I don't know what to do for you. That is an absolutely willfully dishonest thing to do. That's what they keep getting caught for. So in this case, when they say, well, the science changed, therefore we're going to do this. What science and why? And how did it all of a sudden just change? Was it a peer-reviewed study? Did it show that we've been wrong this whole time? And how come we don't address that? Why don't we explain that it's been wrong? We've been doing it too long. That's not even remotely what it gets into. Now, you can dive through this for yourself and see how often they're just saying, trust us, we're authority. That's the boils down to. Here's the most important part. Turns out, 6 days ago, the CEO of Delta Airlines requested the quarantine period for the COVID infections be halved to 5 days from 10. Oh, weird. Exactly like they just did. You know why they asked for that? Simply to ease the burden of their workforce. And as he points out, when powerful corporate interest asks, they receive. Okay, so first let's go by and you see why this is relevant. So if they're willing to shorten the isolation time for healthcare workers who are more exposed than anybody just for staffing, let's not pretend like there's like science matters more here and not there, right? Science didn't apply here. So it was just, well, we're short staffed, therefore we're going to shut this down to a half time frame. Then suddenly it happens here and they argue because science, except the exact same thing was applied here. Delta said, well, same reason. We're short staffed. So short at the 5, just like you did a moment ago for the healthcare workers. And what do you know? Days later, they did. Now, you could pretend that there's science involved there that they just don't want you to see. And maybe there is. Maybe they did some another 12-day study in Kentucky like they tried to do for natural immunity and pretend like that shows everything, even though all of the other science says otherwise. It doesn't matter. This is ridiculously obvious. And I think it shows you what's really going on. Here's the actual letter yourself if you'd like to check it out. This is directly from newsdelta.com. December 21st. We are writing on behalf of Delta Airlines to the CDC to reconsider the current guideline for 10 days of isolation in fully vaccinated individuals. The guidance was developed in 2020 when the pandemic was different, and, you know, and they go on and make their argument. So here's what we can see. They apply the Omicron variant and simply go, well, fully vaccinated, right? And Omicron's not dangerous, right? Okay, it doesn't really matter if you even agree with their argument. What you get to see here is big business tapping your government on the shoulder and going, guys, we need this. And they go, okay, now let's make the argument for why they do this. It really doesn't matter. It's arbitrary. That's what I'm trying to get you to see. Now, please dig into this further because there's probably a lot more of this going on. Here's the next arbitrary part of it. First of all, to see it from a nonpartisan angle, I wanted to make sure we include this. Fauci on Trump getting booed. Remember, we just played this for you. And in case you didn't see it, I might as well play it again. Because a lot of people that, you know, don't want to believe that Trump is the very least a supporter of the vaccine might want to know this. And the idea is that, yes, he's supporting the booster, and he's also saying that we shouldn't be forced. I'm going to say that right out of the gate. Now I'll let it play, and then I'll make my point again once we play it.
Look, we did something that was historic. We saved tens of millions of lives worldwide. We, together, all of us, not me, we got a vaccine done, 3 vaccines done, and tremendous therapeutics like Regeneron and other things that have saved a lot of lives. We got a vaccine done.
Which, by the way, they just pulled back for some strange reason, claiming that Omicron, it does, they subjectively think it probably won't work against Omicron, so they pulled back Regeneron. Now, I'm not even really one to dive deep into the Regeneron topic. I simply haven't, to be quite honest. there's something about that doesn't stand out to me. But regardless, it seems like they just keep knocking off subjectively things that might offer some solution outside of the vaccine category, even though here we are with plenty more evidence to show that the injection itself is not clearly doing what they want. But then we're going to go, well, most likely it won't work, so let's just pull it. Why not? Let's keep knocking off things that might help people other than the injection, even though clearly the injection's not helping. Seems pretty interesting. Anyway, I pulled that off the show today, and I figured I'd make the point since he brings it up. Now, continuing, here's the point when he gets into the booster.
In less than 9 months, it was supposed to take from 5 to 12 years. Because of that vaccine, millions and millions of people, I think this would have been the Spanish flu of 1917, where up to 100 million people died. This was going to ravage the country far beyond what it is right now. Take credit for it. Take credit for it. It's a great, what we've done is historic.
No, sorry, I was going to let it play, but this is a point that I wanted to make, I didn't make last time. This feels to me like a way to trick people who want to support Trump at all costs, Republicans, you know, people lost in the two-party paradigm, into supporting the thing that they're right now not supporting. You know, like Trump is making it sound like, don't fall for the Democrat trap, right? Don't attack the vaccine. The vaccine's good because we did it, right? So now switch over to saying vaccine good, but you guys are making it bad. You see how that works? Then all of a sudden you get the very people that should be the most pushing against this, who already are getting a tap on the shoulder from their savior, apparently, to say, no, don't do that. The vaccine's the good part. The bad part is how they're trying to force it on you. So all you end up doing is justifying that, and you find another way to get people into it. That's just my perception on this, but isn't it strange? And look, he got a lot of pushback against this, which is the point we're making if I can get through the clip, right? Shut up, Ryan, let it play. Oh, here we go.
Don't let them take it away. Don't take it away from ourselves. You're playing right into their hands when you sort of like, oh, the vaccine. If you don't want to take it, you shouldn't be forced to take it. No mandates, but take credit because we saved tens of millions of lives. Take credit. Don't let them take that away from you.
Patently untrue. I mean, at the very least, you can't, there's no way you could verify that, first of all. But I don't think for one second that these things did any benefit around the world, especially with what we're seeing now, especially with the risk-benefit profile we're seeing coming from people like Dr. Malone and McCullough, showing you that we're beginning to see that it's not good for anybody, anywhere. I mean, it's just crazy. But yeah, so don't let them take away my success that I keep wanting to point at. Right? I mean, that's what it feels like to me. But this is the point.
Okay, so the president made news.
Do you agree with that?
Right? Clap for me. Come on.
Both the president and I are vaxxed. And did you get the booster?
Yes.
I got it too. Okay, so...
He hesitated. He hesitated for a second because I think he knew that would happen.
That's all. It was a very tiny group of it.
No, it wasn't, right? I mean, that's the point, is nobody clapped, first of all. So everybody was like, Some of them went boo. And those are his supporters, right? This is a Republican audience. The problem is that this is how they frame this. So Trump is supporting the booster, clearly. And he's clearly supporting the injection. Always has. And here they come out with an article, Fauci on Trump getting booed. Poisoning the well on vaccines has a lingering effect. So they are absolutely desperate for you to feel that this is Republicans don't want this thing ever. And all the Democrats do. It's partisan. They want you to fight each other. That's never been true. And I think that's been clear from the very beginning. As I said, they're so desperate to make that the case. They're failing. Trump has always been for the injection. He still is. It's his thing, which is why the left openly said they wouldn't take it until they took over and it just magically became safe. Remember that game? Well, I don't know. I don't think we should wait to find out if it's safe, right? It's just pathetic. It's ridiculous.
I think it's going to be a very skeptical American public about taking the vaccine, and they should be.
We can't trust the president and take his word and take a vaccine that might cause harm to us.
If and when the vaccine comes, and it's not likely to go through all the tests that needs to be and the trials that are needed to be done.
Let's just say there's a vaccine that is approved and even distributed before the election. Would you get it?
Well, I think that's going to be an issue for all of us.
When we finally do, God willing, get a vaccine, who's going to take the shot? Who's going to take the shot?
It goes on and on. You've seen the clip. It's absurd to pretend that that didn't happen, which is what they're doing. On top of that, to pretend that at the time they didn't have access to the same information that we did. So they can't pretend like, oh, we took power and then we researched and we found out that it was safe. Even though they're not saying that, though, because they don't want you to think that Trump did anything good from within their internal, petty, you know, career-driven politics, right? At the end of the day, I don't see them as really on different sides, but even from within, they've got different things. They actually probably don't like each other, however you look at it. The point is that that was Trump's thing. They said, no, bad. Then when they took power, they say, yay, good, we did it now. It's just so remedial and childish. Like, obviously it was his thing. You can't just stand on it and be like, we fixed it. Nothing changed. It's the exact same thing from then till now. So they're desperate to make it seem like he's not the one doing this, or he's not the one. And going again, back to the point, how is he poisoning the well? This guy is even still standing up going, do it. It's good. Don't let them take it away from you. So this argument of partisan divide, even right now, is just, it's fake. They're just, they're screaming something that's not even tangibly connected to what's happening. How do we not see how desperate this looks? It's we have to see that. None of these people are on your side. That's what we need to see, guys. Now, one last point on that same note. I just want to, I'll include this for everyone to see. Of course, it gets no engagement. I highly doubt Tucker Carlson's going to talk about this, or Bongino. But right now, you can see this. Check it out for the video for yourself. This is a person trying to get into the Trump grill. Now, yes, of course, there's Trump things all over the world, and I'm not trying to pretend that Trump has influence over every single one. I mean, I think we can argue he does, first of all. Anybody who's got their name on this has influence over these locations, but to argue that he makes the policy for individual locations is ridiculous. Nonetheless, though, a Trump grill is refusing to let somebody here have a seat without having a vaccine proven. It's pretty interesting, though, isn't it? So regardless of whether Trump's involved in the policy, Trump grill is not letting people sit without having a vaccine passport. So take that for what you will. This is something we need to digest in a larger picture and how it's really applied across the board. If I were Trump and these were my name on them, I wouldn't let that happen. But maybe I don't have the control, right? Nonetheless, I think we need to see that this is the point. None of them are on your side, guys, and they're playing this partisan game to make you think that. Now, to the next illusion, the idea of transmission. Right? So you follow me so far? We can see that these people are lying from one step to the next, arbitrarily changing metrics based on all sorts of manipulations, based on things that are good for corporations. So here, the dossier from Jordan Sachtel, COVID shots were both marketed by Big Pharma and authorized by the government under the core claim that they prevent transmission. You know this. Anybody, they know that. Even people that believe or trust these people, they know that. They're not dumb. They heard it. Some of them aren't. They just pretend like they, I mean, they, the craziest part is many of them, with the trying to be honest, would simply go, well, it changed. It's not the same now. But don't forget that the politicians themselves are the ones pretending they didn't say this. They're the ones trying to backpedal and go like, well, we didn't say transmission. It's just reducing symptoms. And they pretend like we can't go back and look at their videos. And they bank on the people that don't care that we can prove it to defend them, because they're defending their choice. Says, with the United States shattering records for recorded COVID-19 cases across the board, it's time to dissect all of the revisionist history in the waters these days. Now, I'll play this again after we read through this, since I played it when we opened. Big Pharma and government regulators sold and authorized COVID shots to the masses using the core claim that they were providing something akin to a cure. We all know this. That's how they framed it. These so-called vaccines were sold as immunization agents. That's why they called them vaccines, which I wasn't aware that vaccina, the actual cowpox virus, is where that name comes from. Because originally they used the cowpox virus to fight against smallpox. So it's interesting that we're still using the word vaccine to address an mRNA gene therapy platform when it's not even remotely. I mean, most people that know this even understand that it's just not even a vaccine. But when you even dig into etymology, the background of that word, you can see that it ties to something that's not even remotely connected to what we're doing today. Just on an interesting side note, I'm reading a book called Emerging Viruses, which I was going to read an opening to today. I'll probably do it tomorrow, which is where that comes from. Nonetheless, a little side note. These so-called vaccines were sold as immunization agents. They're not. Not as a therapy treatment that may at some point down the line help reduce your symptoms if acquiring the disease, which is what they're selling it as now. I mean, think about how different that is. You're good. Like you saw Biden say, you're good. You're not going to go to the hospital. You're not going to die. Well, now they're basically going, well, you might have all of that, but it'll just lessen what you deal with. How do we not see that? Says there's one major problem with their claim. It's baseless, entirely baseless, even to the end point of reducing your symptoms, by the way. First, let's start with Big Pharma. This is important. This is from April 1st, 2021. Albert Bourla, from Pfizer, CEO, excited to share that updated analysis from our phase 3 study with BioNTech also showed that our COVID vaccine was 100% effective. 100%, he says, in preventing COVID. And then he reiterates it. 100%. Wasn't a typo. Exclamation point. That's just, I mean, as a person in this field, obviously, this guy's not a doctor, but you're in this doing study. 100% is laughable. You don't give 100. If you find 100%, you go back and find out what your error was. There is no such thing as 100% because it just doesn't work out that way, unless you have a very, very small study, which is usually what these ended up being. There's always caveats. There's always issues. And also, by the way, that's also why they kept getting rid of people during these studies that didn't meet their endpoints. Oh, you got really sick one day after the first booster, after flu shot, first shot. Well, let's remove them because it couldn't have been the injection. It was too close. A lot of that happened. We've gone over that in past shows. So you end up whittling it down to everything worked perfectly. Isn't that, that's how you find 100%. But is it 100%? I think we can all see that that's simply not true. So either they were wrong, they're incompetent, or they manipulated the data to get that to be the case, which I think you'll find that's what happened. Big Pharma COVID shot companies have repeatedly insinuated their injections would effectively eradicate COVID-19. Clearly, we're not there, and all they can do is blame you as the unvaccinated, despite there being no evidence to back up that actually happening, including the previous science before COVID-19 that made it very clear that leaky vaccines or the situation we're currently in, whatever you want to call it, is literally how you create variants from 4 different peer-reviewed studies and articles I've shown you in the past. But, you know, the argument that's the case. But on top of that, there's no evidence to suggest that people being unvaccinated immediately pose some kind of threat, which is how they're driving all of the fear that you as an unvaccinated person are thereby spreading COVID. That's such a leap. It blows my mind. But you have to understand their actual argument is that because somebody, myself included, are unvaccinated, therefore you could maybe come in contact with the virus, maybe then get sick, even though it's dramatically low in that risk for most everybody. And then mutate the thing, which then could be spread and then might get them sick. You see how much is in between those two things? Now, the argument that you just by simply being sick, like let's say I just get sick because I'm not vaccinated and let's pretend that's COVID-19. In that immediate moment, I'm sick with the thing that they have something to protect them from. You see what I'm saying? Not that it just mutated from something else, but they're protected supposedly against Delta, Omicron, whatever they keep yelling at you. Then you get sick with that. How are they then at risk if I'm just giving the same thing they're supposed to be protected from? See, that's where the narrative falls apart, the argument, because it's the only way they pretend unvaccinated are risky are because we're mutating the thing, which then makes it not work against their vaccine. You see, the problem is it has never worked against their vaccine, or rather, the vaccine has never worked against the virus. The data has been there from the beginning, and all they're trying to do is rationalize with some new variant and pointing at this and pointing at that, which weirdly have the exact same symptoms as the vaccine adverse events. It's strange, right? All of it comes together. Anyway, going forward, it says, why do they make this claim? Well, Pfizer and Moderna, for their part, pulled information from limited trial data, as they called the hot flash in the pan study, real quick, let it happen and then pulled it away and said, there it is, 100%, without letting it see how it would come right back down and wane immediately, which is what we're seeing. And don't forget, we're seeing an increased risk of potentially catching specifically COVID-19, 75% increase after 3 months. You are 75% more at risk of catching COVID than somebody who never got it after 3 months if you took the Pfizer injection. That's a new study. On top of that, we showed you an increased risk, 50% in fact, of catching any infection within the first 7 to 9 days after Pfizer. That's their study. You also have a 50% risk of lymphocytopenia, which is a decrease or rather a suppression of your immune system with what goes on for, we don't know yet, the end result is unknown. On top of that, the doubling of cardiac risk. Right. But it's clear that this thing's safe for you, right? Limited data. That's why they do that. So you don't see those endpoints. Without actually releasing information on the patients related to the virus carriage and or shedding. Hiding things from you. But we'll give it to you in 2096, though. There was no real basis for these immunization claims, but Pfizer and Moderna made them anyway, and the government happily played along. A lot of good tweets in here as well. Here's Jen Reese. And yet, it was clearly stated at the 12-10-20 VRBPAC that the FDA did not request data on virus carriage or shedding. And this is the approval process, rather the authorization process in regard to the time frame. But it says all of the stop the spread claims were based on sketchy trial data completely detached from the scientific evidence, which we argued at the time. And worse, whistleblowers have come forward to claim that the trials may have been modified to help sell the product. And of course, they reference in this case in regard to the specifically the issues of the data. They reference the Brooke Jackson discussion, which I guess they just missed my interview with her and forgot to include it, but I'm being facetious. But it's right there if you want to listen to it, our interview with Brooke Jackson, which we're going to be doing another one coming up in a few days. So understand there's whistleblowers out there telling you that this stuff is not sound. Now, it says that didn't for a second stop the government bureaucrats like Fauci and the CDC director Berlinski from manipulating the masses into believing the shots would eradicate the virus itself. And we all know that. Here this is from June 29th, 2020. Fauci says COVID vaccine may not get to U.S. To herd immunity if too many people refuse it. Anti-vaxxers and vaccine skeptics will put immunocompromised people at risk. Oh, you mean the immunocompromised people that we don't know it's safe for? Yep, I'm going to keep bringing this up. Here it is, Pfizer data, use in immunocompromised patients. The safety profile of the vaccine is not known in immunocompromised people. That's November 2021. Wow, but here we are going, yeah, this is bad. The crazy part about this is that they don't know if it's safe. They never have. So all the way in 2021 on November, if they're telling you that we never studied whether it's safe for immunocompromised people, I think it's safe to argue that in June 2020, they didn't know still. But let's get it to them first because we don't know if it's safe. Apparently. I mean, this is the crazy part about this. It's that easy to point this stuff out. Either this guy is that ill-informed or he doesn't care. You choose. Here's the clip we're talking about right here. We'll play it again in a second. Fauci and the public health gang remains on the warpath against the unvaccinated, but there remains zero real evidence that the non-compliant spread disease at an increased rate or at all by that, for that matter, based on natural immunity and a lot of other things that they're not getting into. That's my point. They keep arguing that it's a pandemic, that not only pandemic of the unvaccinated, because they're claiming we're the ones getting sick and dying, but they're claiming that that's the threat, the spread, that that's where it's happening. It's not true. Four of the five highest transmission states in the United States are highest vaccination rates. That's from the CDC data. Now, finishing, it says, based on results from the clinical trial, the vaccine was 91% effective in preventing COVID disease, said the FDA press release, which we can clearly see is not true right now. And this was before Omicron, Delta, same thing. That 91 number comes from a CDC study that claims both Pfizer and Moderna shots, quote, reduce the risk of infection by 91% for fully vaccinated people. Commenting on the study, Walensky claims the shots would work to prevent most infections. You see, they knew this wasn't the case. Nothing backed this up. That's what this is showing you, that it never stopped transmission from day one. There was never any real scientific evidence that Big Pharma and the federal government had found a way to stop the spread of coronavirus, but they claimed otherwise. As evidenced above, the baseless idea that the shots stopped the spread was not only part of the sales job, it was most important. It was the most important part of the sales job. Now, if you guys remember, and I didn't grab this, actually I didn't think about it until just now, but if you guys remember, in the beginning of all this, I guess maybe not the exact beginning, but in 2020, you remember we talked about the Forbes article that was breaking down the trials. This at a time when they were talking about these trials. And I was showing you the article of a Forbes, and I was using Forbes because it was mainstream, and I was challenging what everybody else was saying, and no one seemed to care. And the author went through their trial data, and I used that and the trial itself to show you that their endpoints, as anybody honest has still referenced, were never stopping transmission or preventing death or hospitalization. Never. Their endpoints were reducing mild to moderate symptoms. That's it. And he made the point then, and he said, look, they're not even trying to find out. And then I gave you the information from Tal Zaks of Moderna, who said himself on the record, we weren't paid to find out. If they would have paid us more, we could have found out in a longer five, six more months whether it stopped transmission. And there it is. We can't wait 6 months because we have an agenda. So they skipped right over it. Or you could simply argue that they knew it wouldn't, because a leaky vaccine is how you keep this thing going, and there you go. Those are just subjective opinions. But remember that. 2020, we told you that, and we've been censored ever since for telling you that these things don't stop transmission, because they never found out or tried to find out whether they did. At the very least, you can argue that if they never tried to find out, that they've never really known for sure. So they keep arguing, and that's what they kind of try to do, that, well, it appears to stop trans. It doesn't. That's been put to bed. It does not. And that's what we're talking about here. They know that. They don't care. And now this sells you on the illusion, right? If they're going to scream at you to stop transmission, still, even though it doesn't, what does this show us?
2021, we should be able to manufacture a lot of vaccines. And that vaccine, a key goal is to stop the transmission, to get the immunity levels up so that you get almost no infection going on whatsoever.
Everyone who takes the vaccine is not just protecting themselves, but reducing their transmission to other people and allowing society to get back to normal.
We can kind of almost see the end. We're vaccinating so very fast. Our data from the CDC today suggests, that vaccinated people do not carry the virus, don't get sick.
Now we know that the vaccines work well enough that the virus stops with every vaccinated person. A vaccinated person gets exposed to the virus. The virus does not infect them. The virus cannot then use that person to go anywhere else. It cannot use a vaccinated person as a host to go get more people. That means the vaccines will get us to the end of this.
Oh, tell me, Matto, what it means. Please let us know the information that you're so well on. I mean, this is what frustrates me. People like this, and I'll leave it there since you guys hopefully saw it in the beginning. This is somebody who has been catastrophically wrong. Just like, look at Neil. This is Neil Ferguson in the news world. This is Imperial College of London on the news manipulation. She got destroyed around the Russiagate lie. I mean, embarrassingly destroyed, like with all of her subjective arguments and discussions of Russian spies in the government. I mean, it's just, look, and no one was ever in an honest position, least of all me, arguing that there wasn't such a thing as Russian spies, or that Russia wasn't immersing themselves in our culture to try, just like the U.S. government does, just like any government does. They spy and they manipulate, and that's what they do. But she got destroyed on her absurdly subjective arguments that work for her narrative. Here she is. Still in the main seat in MSNBC. That's because that's what they do. Here we are again. Do you think that Rachel Maddow did her due diligence, read through the research? If she had, she would have been going, well, clearly they didn't even try to find trans. But no, she towed the line, because that's what people like this do, and they get rewarded for it, like she still is. She was wrong. Oh, did it stop transmission? And why do you say that, Rachel Maddow? Because that's what Fauci said. That's what the CDC said we're supposed to say. Right? At this exact moment, we were saying, doesn't work. It's not working. Censor, censor, censor. It's pathetic. Just listen to her again selling this as absolute fact, like she's so certain about it. And it's not just her, it's anybody. But I just see her as such a ridiculous character in this game.
Don't get sick.
Now we know that the vaccines work well enough that the virus stops with every vaccinated person. A vaccinated person gets exposed to the virus. The virus does not infect them. The virus cannot then use that person to go anywhere else.
That's never, ever been true. Ever. Ever. That's the ridiculous part about it. We now know that if you get vaccinated, it stops. You get vaccinated, you can't do it. It's like at this exact moment, we were screaming all over the place about transmission. It's just so sad. But this is what they're paid for, to indoctrinate you with what you're supposed to be thinking. But note that she's still there. I mean, have they circled back and said, hey, we were wrong about that? No, they pretend we were right, but the unvaccinated led to where we are now. All Omicron's fault. Nope. It happened during Delta. It was happening during Alpha, for crying out loud. We've been pointing this out the whole damn time. Now, as I say here, the amount of deception and gaslighting that we have endured during this COVID agenda is only overshadowed by how very obvious it's all been. The whole time. This is why we discuss mass psychosis. I mean, how can you not see the shifting of the goalposts? This person says, and I agree with this, we've been in a political mass psychosis since at least Obama and into Trump. It's the same reason, and we experienced this too, why, and this was much more during 2016 to 2020, why liberals always think this person's a conservative and vice versa. It's exactly what we get. When you actually, people on the right still think I'm a liberal. People on the left still think I'm a Republican. How is that even possible if they're both not lost? Right? I mean, that's just ridiculous, because what it ends up being is anybody who doesn't toe these lines exactly is on some other side. And neither one of those minority sides that we pretend is the majority recognize that there's this huge open field of the middle ground where most people reside and just don't want to admit it. But I agree. I think this is the mass psychosis we're seeing. Now on this, that was this one. That's what I did here. This first. and here is the actual account that came from. A lot of people have been sharing this thing. Clown World shared it and got, 10,000 views. I'm glad. And they did cite them on it. But this, it's always good to point out who did it. This person, Coy the Great. I don't know if they made it or not, but they shared it first, at least from what I can tell. This person points out, you should hear the poor souls who are now repeating ad nauseum. And this is the point. You'll hear this everywhere on the Twitter sphere and in even the mainstream media right now. Vaccines were never about stopping the spread. It was always the severity of the illness. Right? Of course, that makes sense now, because it works for them. But you can't look at them screaming at stop transmission and pretend it's always been about this. It's not. But the people who don't want to see it will pretend that, because it makes them, it's a one-stop shop. You're done. That makes the case. We're not wrong. You're wrong. End of story. Months ago, they were screaming, it's immunity, we're all immune. I just copy and paste the DC's little definition change to leave it at that. And this is their point, and I agree with this. They changed the definition, as you all know, we did a show on it, from producing immunity to producing protection. Why is that? Well, because now they can claim that you are getting vaccinated if you simply are protecting. And that could mean 1% difference in their minds. Immunity means immune. But that's not happening today. At least not in this context. Natural immunity, different story. Now, moving over to the next one. Here is the idea of Omicron in the same context, right? So we've gone from the illusion to begin. Now we've talked about the idea of transmission entirely. And now we're pretty much the current state, where now they've been lying the whole damn time. And now we're in Omicron. They're going, oh, but it's going to work against Omicron. Now, why would that make any, how does that even make sense? If it hasn't been working, why does it suddenly make sense to work against Omicron? Because all they've been doing in the people's minds that buy the narrative is couched it on the side of the people who are unvaccinated. Any problem you're dealing with, it's on that guy right there. That's it. Don't think any further into it. Don't ask yourself why it hasn't worked. Oh, it's because of this thing we just now discovered. Oh, makes sense. Now it all works. Well, don't forget that Biden, who ran, and this is the point, as I keep saying, I'll just actually start with that. If you haven't realized by now that they, all sides, parties of the government, promised the world to get elected, yet only deliver for their backers, then that is a choice. Because it's that obvious, guys. That's everything. Trump, Biden, anybody. They promise whatever they think you want, and then they just do what they want. Or rather, they do what they're told by the people that got them in office. Now, here's what Biden said when he got elected. And this is a 5-second clip, but just so you can hear it.
Look, there is no federal solution. This gets solved at a state level.
Excuse me. Look. Not when he got elected, excuse me. But when he just recently said this. And remember that when he got elected, he made the promise of ending the pandemic. We all know that. That was his big story. Oh, Trump's failing and I'll end it right now. And now he just said, as of yesterday, well, there is no federal solution. It's on the states. The states got to deal with it themselves. Oh, doesn't that sound weirdly like exactly what Trump was saying? Yeah, you know why? Because that makes it easily a never-ending situation, which is what they want. Now, here is some other interesting points they included underneath this. Or rather, this is the one I had. No, this is right. Okay, so we're 8 months into this pandemic, and Donald Trump still doesn't have a plan to get this virus under control. I do. Oh, and what's that plan? To do exactly what Trump did. When was this? I don't know. He says this when Trump's elected. So a year later, do the same thing and act like it's different, which is what all of them do. So yes, it's politics. But no, just note that that's ridiculous. So what was your plan? There was no plan. The plan was to do what we were told and then eventually end up in the same position he was in. Here's one that didn't age well.
220,000 Americans dead. You hear nothing else I say tonight. Hear this. Anyone who's responsible for not taking control, in fact, not saying I take no responsibility initially, anyone who's responsible for that many deaths should not remain as president of the United States of America. We're in a situation where there are 1,000 deaths a day now, 1,000 deaths a day, and there are over 70,000 new cases per day. Compared to What's going on in Europe, as the New England Medical Journal said, they're starting from a very low rate. We're starting from a very high rate. Expectation is we'll have another 200,000 Americans dead between now and the end of the year. If we just wore these masks, the president's own advisors have told them, we could save 100,000 lives.
Anyway, which didn't work because some of the most masked places in the planet are some of the worst situations. Sure, just a correlation, but I think we all know that that led to more illness, which the data and the peer-reviewed science before COVID clown world has exponentially shown to be the case. And exponentially, I guess, just in space. The point is that yes, everything you just said there is what has continued to happen under him. So it's just politics. That's the point. Everything he said to make it seem like Trump didn't do what he was, same thing. On and on and on. Here's his first discussion with Kamala Harris. First joint interview.
In order to keep the country running and moving and the economy growing and people employed, you have to fix the virus. You have to deal with the virus.
So if the scientists say shut it down?
I would shut it down. I would listen to the scientists.
To beat the virus, we first got to beat Donald Trump. He's the virus.
Look, there is no federal solution.
Right. Same thing. The other things at the end of this that are personal, you know, the person's video they made. But, you know, the point is simply that they keep arguing that to do what we need to do. And then they step into place and they fall right into do exactly what Trump did the whole time. If that doesn't show you a false back and forth, then I don't know what does. This is, it doesn't, I mean, you could argue, I guess, that he just got in place and realized that he was doing the right thing and just lied about that. But really, it needs to show you that there is no difference. They're all being driven by the same agenda. Here he is posting back on 4/27/20. Testing is the springboard. We need to help our economy safely up and running again. Oh, you mean so exactly what you're still not doing, right? That's what they only just recently they start upping those antigen tests and so on, right? It's the same argument. Trump could rapidly scale it up. He hasn't. Instead, he passed the blame to push sole responsibility to the governors. Ah, you mean exactly like you just did?
Look, there is no federal solution. This gets solved at a state level. Look.
Right, at a state level. Isn't that funny? So all reverts all the way back to the same position. All that time and effort and everybody, Biden's going to change the world every time. It's the same damn thing over and over. And here we are into the illusion of Omicron. This is the most recent statement coming from the leader of BioNTech. Three shots, which they probably already got a bunch of people to do under the argument that it would work, won't stop Omicron. Hey, that was 2 days ago. Isn't that interesting? Does that change that? I mean, it's just ridiculous that we can keep finding this. As I said, they censored that statement by me and other people as medical misinformation like a week ago. I mean, how silly is that? That is really embarrassing. Like, just as a media apparatus, like as an American, to stand back and be like, good God, how obviously these people are just saying what they're told. How could it be censored as medical for misinformation last week? And now he comes out and says it. Oh, well, now it's acceptable. And we weren't just making things up. We were pointing to research, peer reviewed. But now that the guy from a company says it, well, now it's fact. Make sure you see what that shows us. Well, here is what they were saying earlier this month. So make sure we see this is December 26th. Three shots won't stop Omicron variant, says BioNTech leader. This was weeks ago. Reuters, Pfizer BioNTech vaccine neutralizes Omicron with three shots. Neutralize, that means removes harm, right? It can no longer harm you, even though that's not even what they're pretending neutralize means in this context, because they already said, well, it might come back though. So they're lying to you with that word, but that's what they claim. So people who don't know and read into it think, well, there you go, three shots and I'm good forever. That's what they want you to think. Here is Forbes, December 8th. Pfizer BioNTech booster neutralizes Omicron variant. So all of these mainstream, highly regarded journalistic outlets all just went, company says, just regurgitates what a lying pharmaceutical company. And I don't say that because I think that. That's a fact. Pfizer's been caught 70 times since the year 2000 lying and getting caught for it and having to pay out fees. Over $4 billion, in fact, for lying about safety results, lying about all sorts of stuff. Because that is what they do. They get caught lying, and the government tends to look the other way. I'll include this for those that want to look. This is the Pfizer tracker. Oh, wow. So looks like there's been an update here that I haven't seen. Look at that. Good Lord. So let's just quickly address this since I brought it up. I didn't know this has changed. I've been looking at this for a while now. So this is just since the year 2000. I promise you there were crimes before that. There's now 75 records. Those are all crimes, which amount to a total of $10 billion. $10,193,896,333 in total fines for crimes. I'm trying to see where it looks like that went to. It looks like safety-related offenses. I don't think that was $5 billion before. But note that. Safety-related offenses. You mean like whether or not these things are dangerous? Gee, they've lied 15 times and been caught lying 15 times and have paid out over $5 billion in crimes. Pfizer. Healthcare-related offenses. $3 billion. Government contracting, competition. Here's the ones that I think are the most important. Drug or medical equipment safety. So the safety of the drugs. $5 billion. 9 different crimes. Off-label or unapproved promotion. So promoting things they're not supposed to be used for. $3 billion. 10 different crimes. Or False Claims Act. You know, lying about things it can do, such as stopping transmission or that it works at all. $1 billion for 19 different times they've been caught doing that. Jeez. Well, we'll include them. I'm glad I did that so we can include it going forward. So here's the point. Why would Forbes or Reuters just simply take them at their word? Why would that be? If they've been caught lying about exactly things like this, literally lying about the efficacy of their drugs or whether they work, or whether their side effects are there, lying all for 20 plus years and even caught for it. But here's Forbes saying, well, they said so. So we'll blindly report that as fact. And you know that's not the only ones I have. Here's Wall Street Journal. This is from same time frame. Pfizer says booster neutralized Omicron, but varied may elude 2 doses. Make sure you get the booster because booster, safe and effective. Here's the next one. Pfizer says from NBC, booster shot of its vaccine protects against Omicron. And if you look in the article, they don't give you any counterbalance. It is Pfizer said safe, get your injections, we'll get past this together. That's not media, that is propaganda. Here is New York Post. Make sure we see that it's on all sides of this argument. Pfizer says booster dose of COVID vaccine neutralizes Omicron. And note that they use neutralize without quotes because they're making you think that's what happens, even though that is coming directly from what Pfizer told them to say. Next one. Here's another one from CNBC. Pfizer says booster dose of COVID vaccine neutralizes Omicron variant. And this goes past December 8th. Pfizer biotech, this is Forbes again, neutralizes Omicron variant. Here is December 14th. CNBC, they keep pushing it. Why a COVID booster is crucial against the Omicron variant. Understand, by December 14th, it was very clear this was not working. And they kept pushing it. Here is December 15th. Still going forward. Here's NBC again. Current COVID boosters are enough to fight the Omicron variant, Fauci says. So now we're just blindly citing Fauci. And people have been led to believe that makes sense because Fauci's an expert, they say. But that's ignorance. To blindly cite what someone says without doing your due diligence is not being a journalist. That's being a regurgitator. Here's Wall Street again. This one is on December 12th. Pfizer booster shots are effective against Omicron. An Israeli study says, but then we end up back here again. 3 shots do not work against the thing they just spent 3 weeks yelling at you that you need to do. Because it works and we can all tell. And you're crazy if you don't think so. And if you argue it doesn't, we're going to censor you in real time. And now we're admitting it doesn't work after we got all those people to take it. This is crazy. I don't care if you think that they're lying or that they're mistaken or that they just don't care. There's no way you can argue that this evolution of events is something that we should be trusting. It's just baffling to me. So one last quick point before we get into what this leads to, which is all of this is ignoring the natural immunity part of it. Now, I apologize for the fuzzy version of this. I tried to find it really quickly, but I caught this towards the end and I included it. I haven't had time to find the original clip, but somebody sent this clip of Fauci saying this from a recent that is the one. Okay, so here's the clip. And I just want you to listen to what he's saying because they have argued. Actually, here, let's start with this since this just makes it more clear. This is what they've been trying to get you to think. This is from 2020, May. But the same thing's been happening this whole time. I just grabbed this one because the title is so ridiculous. And we covered it at the time. Anti-vaxxers have a dangerous theory called, in quotes, natural immunity. And now it's going mainstream. I mean, this is a senior editor. Oh, God. I mean, where have you been? Are you pretending like you literally don't know about natural immunity, or that you just are towing the line because that's what your job is? It really doesn't matter. It was everywhere. And they're still pretending like they don't know about natural immunity, even though, as if you've been watching this show, you've seen endlessly that this has been something that is just unbelievably obvious. Now, I won't grab all of the 37 different natural immunity articles, peer-reviewed science that I keep showing from The Lancet, from the WHO, from the NIH, from Journal of Infection, from Nature, Science Mag. Every one of them says the same thing. It's lasting, it's durable, it's robust. And they act like, we don't know, the science is undefined yet. That's what Fauci keeps pretending, that we're not sure. And even this clip I'm going to play is so pathetically on the fence, even though all of this information is there. So I'll just include this for the time being. Oh, here we go. I'll grab that one too. I'll do both. So this is a general search for natural immunity, and then this good one that I did, the complete breakdown of science, mainstream media, and the COVID narrative on the topic of natural immunity, but because it's just silly. Conspiracy theory. So here's what he says today, or recently. And this is a weird change. Or even really another lie, if you want to look at it that way, since we do know definitively that it's very clear that this has continued to create natural immunity. Here's what he just said.
Of perhaps the virus is inherently less virulent, or more likely there's an underlying degree of residual protection from prior infections of those who've been infected and survived.
Right. So he's kind of trying to argue that, well, it's just that serious, even though that doesn't get backed up by the data. Most people are not at risk. It's less than the flu for the vast majority of the population. Under 1 in a million chance of dying if you're under 19, according to Oxford. So he's trying to make it, if you survive, which, what, 99.7% of them? Is that the point then? Yeah, apparently, that those people, maybe, kind of, possibly, like you see, he's trying to play this game, have some kind of, and he won't say natural immunity, he just protection. Okay, so how in the world can we be sitting here pretending or allowing the mainstream to argue it's a conspiracy theory when he literally just said that's what that is, that you may have protection after natural infection? That's natural immunity, guys. I mean, that's what blows me away. And I'll just grab this one, since those that might be just passing by might want to see one of these. Had COVID, might make it, probably make antibodies for the rest of your life. That's Nature. And I can show you NIH and all the rest. They all do it. And there's Fauci. Knows this, doesn't care. Okay, so ignoring natural immunity and about 30 other points I could add in right there, but in interest of time, knowing that and seeing them transition this lie. Omicron does gonna work, and then clearly it doesn't. Transmission, we're gonna stop, and then clearly it doesn't. On and on and on. The point being, guys, there's no possible way you can argue that the coercive vaccine passport would make sense. If you know this thing doesn't stop transmission, whether Omicron or not, even though it backs up way before Omicron, or that they just keep being wrong, if that's how you want to frame it. Why would you force this thing if you're literally in real time continuing to see that they keep getting it catastrophically wrong? On top of that, knowing that the ways they keep being wrong is erring on the side of this thing working. And then the way it turns out is it doesn't stop transmission, it doesn't keep you safe, and in fact increases your risk when you add in all the side effects that we're not getting into today. But yet here we are. It's already happening. Excelsior Pass, which you know I've reported when that first started. That's New York. That's been going on for months. They have an active vaccine passport system in New York right now. Digital passport. Be part of New York's safe reopening. Well, it's not what happened. They rolled this out and it only got worse. And now they're locking down again, right? How does that make sense? Oh, cool. Unvaccinated. Oh, there you go. That, because that guy over there, that's why. Well, Baltimore is already, this is December 22nd, explore possibilities of COVID vaccine passports right now. It's everywhere this is happening. How does this make sense? Well before Omicron, which we've made very clear, but on top of what we're dealing with right now, we are all being admitted, or rather we are all discussing how they have been telling you that Omicron, because of Omicron, even though again, it's happened before, that does not work, or the vaccine doesn't work against it. Continuing to spread. The transmission is there. The viral load is increased. All of these have been admitted by the mainstream media. So can anybody step in and explain why a vaccine passport in that context would make any sense? Especially then when you include the larger data that we've been going over, that the Public Health of Scotland, the Public Health of England, which is now a security agency, and many other locations are making it very clear that the vast majority of every problem is in the side of the fully vaccinated. deaths, hospitalizations, cases. And then you can look at the per 100,000 in Scotland and see that they're telling you and showing you that it's the same. That the prevalence is the same on the side of the vaccinated and the unvaccinated. And yet still they've got more deaths and more hospitalizations on the side of the fully vaccinated. Look at my last show. We just discussed it. There's no way this makes sense. All you're doing is arbitrarily putting a block in the way of people that didn't do what they were told. While clearly the risk seems to be aggressively on the side of those doing what they're told. Either way, there's no logic for stopping people from moving when it doesn't actually line up with the risk. Montgomery County could soon require vaccine passports, just like DC, December 23rd. All of this is happening right now, as it seems that it's going the other direction. It doesn't make any sense. Here's one from December 17th. Controversial vaccine passport system already launched. Cool. Super controversial. We're not in agreement, but we already did it anyway because danger. Yep, all over the place. Now, before we jump into the transition to why this makes sense to them, the justification of digital IDs, which has been pushed for decades, let's talk about really quickly the illegality of this or the fact that it's violating everything. This is the Electronic Frontier Foundation, EFF, that's been on this from the beginning. They've been screaming about, even though they will argue there's benefits in some ways, they're clearly taking a stance against any form of passport because it violates your privacy. They know this. The government does too. They know that's exactly why they're doing it, in my mind. Early in the pandemic, there were discussions of immunity passports that would declare that if someone had recovered from COVID-19, and which we thought was a bad idea then, they said. And I'm glad they did that. I pointed to that then, because immunity passports, as I've been saying, are just a sidestep to the same infrastructure. We shouldn't have to prove we're healthy. You're not healthy until proven healthy. It's not how that works. It's been the way it's been created in COVID-19. But they resisted it then because it's still going to violate your rights. It says we, along with other civil liberties organizations, are against creating a new surveillance system that will be hard to remove. Or impossible, and will be inequitable for people who have health issues or do not have smartphones, right? We don't think about these things. The point is they just are going to make sure everybody is tapped into it. You got to have a smartphone now. Or if you're immunocompromised and you can't take these injections, what happens then? Well, we'll just change the narrative to pretend like you have to get them immunocompromised first, even though there's no data to back up that it's safe. See how that works? We've got to get them first now. So we'll skip right over that point. Going forward, it says, in those days before even a timeline for vaccines, immunity passports also created perverse incentives for people who could not shelter in place. Fortunately for us all, events kept immunity passports from gaining wide adoption. As the hope for vaccines in 2020 became a certainty in 2021, attention shifted from immunity passports to vaccine passports. Our stance remained the same. We want equity for all and no surveillance. Thus, we raised concerns about vaccine passports, by which we meant efforts to digitalize credentials rather than using the tried and true mechanism of vaccination documents. And this is the point we keep making. There's no justifiable reason why doing what they're trying to do is actually better. Here's what they say. Digital scannable credentials, we said, are hard to separate from the introduction of new systems used to track our movements. First point. Obviously, we know that's going to work. They won't be separated. They will be used. And by the way, we'll get to in a second. It's already happening. It's already taking place in Australia and Canada and Israel and the United States. They're already using this to completely control and map everything you're doing all the time. So it won't be separated. It says, as we said in that post, quote, immunizations and providing proof of immunizations are not new. However, there's a big difference between utilizing existing systems to adapt to a public health crisis and vendor-driven efforts to deploy new, potentially dangerous technology under the guise of helping us all move past this pandemic. Trojan horse, if you will. The point is that this does not make sense in the larger context of things, especially when there are lots of people that don't have access to these and just don't have smartphones. Either way, the system's there. But what they want is for you to have to carry it all the time, which has never happened before. And then adapt that to just your general ID all the time, which is the next point we're going to make, which is where this is actually going, at least in large part. Because there is a huge agenda just around getting people injected. I've talked about that in its own discussion. There's a huge agenda just around a lot of different parts of this. But the main focus, in my opinion, is how this transitions into the infrastructure that leads into the world they want to build around you based on this threat. In 2021, though, language shifted. The term vaccine passport shifted from meaning frequent active document checks and came to mean simply vaccination records. In April, therefore, we wrote about our opposition to digital vaccine bouncers, proposals that required a new tracking infrastructure and normalized a culture of doorkeepers to public places. You see the huge difference there? We opposed regularly requiring visitors to display a digital token as a condition of entry. That's the infrastructure we're talking about. That applies to anything they want to apply it to, not just threat of virus or whatever else. Anything. It's the social credit system under a guise of virus threat. In the middle of part of 2021, we continued our skepticism of active, frequent checks, especially when this was outsourced to private companies that already have a financial interest in surveillance and being vaccine bouncers. That's a profit motive around your health. Exactly what we see in big pharma, because your entire government and the so-called regulators are already captured. It's been like that for a very long time. And they used to be calling it out from within. We used to see CDC calling out itself, or the HHS calling out the CDC, and that got put to bed. The WHO calling out the CDC for lying about pandemics in 2011. And now we can see that they either got kicked out, fired, replaced, and now we see everybody on the same marching path. Goes forward to say, as we move into 2022, we expect more surprises in our continued pandemic-influenced life. We expect that companies selling surveillance will continue to exploit the movement, the moment. We continue to advocate for measures that do not create surveillance and provide for appropriate equities. This is apt to become more complex with digital documents expanding in context. They see it. We all see it. Summing up, we will continue to advocate against pandemic-related surveillance. We don't believe such surveillance will help us out of the pandemic. Of course, they're going to argue that this will. They're going to argue that doing all this is what will save us, and it will be used to adapt into future things. That's what they can see, and we can see it, and everybody can see it. They're just going to argue its benefits outweigh the risks, which is everything they do today. Now, this is the transition over to the digital ID, which, by the way, is not new. COVID-19 is the newest justification for what they've always been driving forward. Justin's account here shared this with. I saw this yesterday, and he says, "Here it is." And this is from 2020 October. Here it is: the IMF and the World Bank, along with Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, talking about a digital ID along with your health and financial data. Which, by the way, is a conspiracy theory right now in the world of COVID-19. This person says, "Let me translate: your vaccinated status has expired. No fifth booster." Your access to no money. Now, I forgot to say this at the beginning. The clip that where the image we used, I'll just do this so you guys can see it, for the covers today. That's as far as I can tell, not real. I actually think it's a cartoon that might have been made by Ben Garrison to make this point. But you can see, I've never seen, if it is real, I've never seen a video, a pop-up look like that. It always looks different. It's meant to be a point, though. For those that didn't see it on the cover of the show today, this is the logical conclusion about where we're going, and that's the point they're making in this tweet. Oh, your vaccine passport expired today? Well, now your phone cannot make receive calls. Access to internet's been blocked. Your banking, travel pass, and service has been shut down until you update your passport. I don't know why people would even balk at that. I mean, that's literally happening right now in other contexts. It says, would you like to schedule a visit to the nearest vaccination center? We need to see that this is where it's going, and this isn't even that far-fetched. And let's play the clip, and you can see what we're talking about. Here we go.
Inclusive digital ID for a resilient recovery from COVID-19. We can take the moment of what's happening today to make some significant changes for digital transformation.
Right in the beginning, we can use what's happening today to transition. Remember, the digital transition has been what this group's been talking about since 2002, if not before. They've been talking about transitioning, the evolution, the converging technologies, as Klaus Schwab is telling you, the blending of your biological and digital identities. Like, this is their future. This is not COVID related. This whole agenda has been the point long before COVID-19. So now they're saying, perfect. As even Klaus Schwab said, let's use this to drive what we think is best. If that's what you believe they're doing, you can pretend they're doing what they think is best, or you could pretend they're doing what's best for them. It doesn't matter. They're framing it as what's best for you, but they're doing it in a way that lies to you about what's actually happening. That's what we need to see.
I see for a resilient recovery from COVID-19. we can take the moment of what's happening today to make some significant changes for digital transformation. I speak today with two hats as the World Bank's Managing Director for Development Policy Partnership, and as Raj mentioned, as Chair of the High-Level Advisory Council of our Identification for Development and Government-to-Persons Payment Initiative. The importance of...
You make sure you heard that, talking about payment. Like, so it's basically a barrier to you being able to access the financial system, which is exactly what they discussed in Event 201 and plenty of other things, stopping your ability to be a part of it.
Our mission, the whole ID4D is about digital ID. And all of us today take our ID for granted. All of us have legal ID and most likely also a digital ID. And it has been the gateway for us to participate in the economy, participate in all things that are about living and about accessing to essential services. The times of today, the way we are seeing how the COVID-19 pandemic has evolved and has actually emphasized the need for such a digital ID system. And we all know that the trusted digital ID system is only one of the core building blocks of what's called the stack, that together with digital payments and data interoperability and shared services can be transformational for not just delivering the social assistance that we are seeing happening, but also to build an inclusive and resilient digital economy and societies.
Right. And now remind me how that has any tie to COVID-19. Is creating that going to save everybody from a pandemic? I mean, they know that most people aren't going to see this. This was an internal discussion. They're openly saying we're going to use this to drive what we want, what we've already mapped out long before COVID was ever even on the map. We are doing what we want. We're going to utilize this. The only way this makes sense in some of those minds is that they argue they're doing this because it's better for everybody. So let's not pretend that this isn't an immediate thing to help fight COVID-19. That's how they're framing it, though. That's how the media frames it to the normies out there that don't know this. They frame it as this is what they're doing to fight COVID. They're not, though. This has always been there. And this digital ID is something that can be shut. But she just explained it. You will have metrics you need to meet. And if you don't, you can be turned off. It's your access to the economy, the digital economy.
And I really want to acknowledge that this reach and scale of impact would not be possible without support of our partners, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, the UK government, the French government, and the OpenAI network. So we really look forward to continuing to scale up our thought leadership, our convening power, our advice and financing to help countries have a resilient recovery and emerge from this crisis stronger and more inclusive than before, and use the opportunity to accelerate digital transformation at the same time.
Right. So it's all about inclusivity. Of course, we have to make the country and the world more inclusive. Otherwise, we're all going to die from the pandemic, right? You see, they are reimagining your world in a better way. We're all going to be equal and great, and everyone's going to be fair and free. And that's all because COVID-19. Right. Let's pretend that makes sense. Anybody honest with themselves can see that they're using this as an opportunity, a timely opportunity to reimagine our world.
What the fourth industrial revolution will lead to is a fusion of our physical, our digital, and our biological identities.
The difference of this fourth industrial revolution is it doesn't change what you are doing. It changes you if you take a genetic editing,
right.
Just as an example. It's you who are changed. Yeah. And of course, this has a big impact on your identity.
Yeah. It is important to use the COVID-19 crisis as a timely opportunity.
So people assume we are just going back to the good old world, which we had, and everything will be normal again in how we are used to normal, in the old fashion. This is, let's say, fiction. It will not happen. The cut which we have now is much too strong in order not to leave traces.
Now, I just make this note and somebody commented there. Like, I know, I hope you all understand that the whole reason that we continue to play these things is because we're trying to reach the new people, right? So bear with me when we do this, because I play this many times. But the goal is not to continue to high-five each other about what we know. It's about to reach that one new person in the chat today. And if they didn't see it, they wouldn't know, right? So it's the same thing. We're battering back their propaganda, right? And if they keep lying about it, we got to come back with it and show it again tomorrow, the next day, and over and over and over, right? I know some people are irritated by that, but the goal here is not to be the most popular. It's to make the most difference in the world. That's what we're here to do. Now, I want to make a point about this. Somebody else caught that, and I want to say it afterwards. The Omidyar Network. Whitney Webb has been talking about this for a long time, talking about the connections to PayPal and I'm blanking on the other discussions we had. Regardless, it's a network that's tied in with all the stuff we're talking about, the passports and all the future that's being built. Whitney would be a great person to talk about that in more depth, but I did catch that as well. It's very interesting to see the clear connections that continue to tie behind it in every way you point. Yes, exactly. I agree. I think the repetition is key. I think it's important to keep it in there. Like, you know, just bear with us, right? Just don't get frustrated by the continuous use of different clips. Just help us tie it together and keep putting these things in a thread that keeps people waking up to the new parts of it, right? We're all on a journey together. And all of you in the chat with me right now are part of this. You're helping me get those people, right? Reach those people, I should say. Now, the point was that we're seeing Paul Schwab talk about the fourth industrial revolution, which he is saying is happening right now. Though most of those clips are from before we got here. But look, he's pointing it to some distant future as if we're going to be combining our identities, your digital and biological, and that. And he talks about implantables and wearables and inserting things in your body and genetic manipulation. And he's talking about the fourth industrial revolution, which he means is now. So he's saying those things are about to happen. Let's not mince words. That's what he's saying. So we need to realize that the idea of a digital ID that they're right now talking about and before it and building up to it is a means to an end. This is the first step, as even Klaus Schwab has said. It's going to go from a watch to a wearable to an implantable. That's the plan they've laid out. So we need to see the digital ID was a plan before all this started. And now they're rationalizing that by using COVID. Now they're going to get you stepping into this with a passport, which then leads to the next step. And however they want to see that go forward, right? No, and by the way, I know people were, I wasn't using, for the chat, I know you guys weren't complaining about the repetition. I just want to make that point because I saw it mentioned. Most of you get why I'm doing this, and I know you understand how important it is. So, next step in the digital ID discussion, right? The vaccination status has already been tied to this, using this. Here, as you've seen many times, and that same point, is the Europa.eu, the European Union website that makes it very clear that from 2018... they were already mapping out a time frame of when you would end up getting to what they called a common vaccination card / passport. And when did they say that would happen? Literally between 2021 and 2022. So exactly right now. What a coincidence. 4 years ago, they just managed to know, right? Certainly possible. Or just got lucky. But with everything else included, you can clearly see this has been planned, mapped out. They were discussing this 20 years ago. This is a plan. Then remember that we already talked about things like this, that the defector who already left the whole ID 2020 program, which remember the ID 2020 program, which Bill and Melinda Gates are tied to, which is supposed to be about an international ID, was already linked to a vaccination status discussion before COVID-19 ever came around. There you go. Read the article for yourself. There's your evidence. So they already connected the idea of an international digital identification program to a vaccination status before COVID-19 ever came. So how in the world can it be a conspiracy theory to argue that that might happen now when they had already put it together before we got here? Isn't that stupid? Well, don't forget the defector left the ID 2020 program calling it techno-solutionism, literally arguing that they were going to use this situation to push a blockchain-based tracking system using your vaccine status. That was somebody from within the program, for crying out loud. Here we are. This was discussed on June 22nd, 2020. Derek's been talking about this. Whitney's been talking about this. Watch it for yourself. As always, all the source links are beneath it, so you can look at it for yourself. Now, I was going to try to find the article. Just watch it for yourself. I've referenced this many times. Here's the next one. This is a discussion from May 26, 2020. Your immunity passport future. Oh, excuse me. This was an article by Derek, for May 2020. Great article. He was way ahead of this. He said, your immunity passport future begins to materialize all the way back in May 2020 as the airlines already started calling for a digital ID tracking system. How can it be fake news right now if this is an open discussion. It's because they just don't want you seeing this stuff. And this is why they censor people like us. Here is, bringing it back to today, or at the very least in the middle of 2021, Tony Blair, you know, the war criminal, the guy who was completely a part of, you know, it's just so funny how these people can, they, like the Bushes of the world, just kind of float back into the center stage and act like they're just this elderly guy that everybody loves. And these are war criminals. These are people that are responsible for killing a lot of people. But who cares, though, because he's old now, so we can act like he's a nice guy. Well, here's what he has to say as he talks about the justification for your digital identification in the context of COVID that's supposed to not be happening, though, right?
The whole argument reminds me of something going back for some years. This is ID cards by the back door, isn't it?
Look, I was there.
Take note really quickly of how he doesn't talk about that. This guy comes out of the gate with a perfect, isn't this just ID cards coming, you know, from the back door trying to trick us into ID cards? Let me go on to explain nothing about that at all, right? I think it's hilarious because this guy saw it, at least in the beginning, but didn't follow up, though.
Argument reminds me of something going back for some years. This is ID cards by the back door, isn't it?
Look, I was then, I remain even more convinced today, particularly with biometric technology, the world will move to biometric ID, and they'll do it because in the end, it's better for people. It's not about, look, the amount of information government's going to have on you is going to be minimal compared with what your local supermarket has on you. So this is a completely sensible way to go.
Okay, so that makes it sensible. Well, don't worry. The grocery store is going to know more about your personal life than the government. So that makes it okay then. What? Like, how in the world does that even make sense? So, I mean, realistically, as I've always said, the government is what most people are concerned about. Not your neighbor knowing your vaccination status and so on. But that still matters. Okay, so whether or not the teller is going to know your personal details still matters. So you don't just get to soft pedal it because, well, at least it's not the government, even though that's of course going to happen. I mean, how many times do we need to pretend that they're not going to do exactly what they say? I mean, look what just happened. Canada just got caught for surveilling, as we just reported, 33 million phones out of a 38 million population. Why? To keep you safe, of course. And now they're going to keep doing it anyway. We know Israel just got caught doing the same thing. We know France got caught for selling your personal data to a third party, even though they swore up and down they would never do that. These people are pathetically obvious in their ploys. They just depend on the small portion of people they point to as the majority to scream that you're all stupid for not trusting them. But you're all seeing through it today. All of you. And that's why they're desperate, in my opinion.
And I think you will find right round the world that people move in this direction because it will facilitate the access to government services. And by the way, in some of the developing countries, exactly, it will cut out fraud.
You're very
right. So it will facilitate your access to things that you need in some people's minds. I mean, look, I don't need anything from the government, but a lot of people sadly today feel that they do. And some people arguably do because they've fell into that situation and have no way out of it. Regardless, they're going to create a situation where you need these things and prove certain things about what you did, what you didn't do, what you're doing now, where you think, what you're watching, what you're saying on social media. This is where it's going in order for you to get those things that you need. I don't know why anybody's okay with that.
Plugged in. Are ministers interested in this, do you think?
I mean, I don't know, but I hope so, because it's just an obvious change. And, you know, the thing is about biometric ID. I mean, as you know, my view is the whole world's getting changed by technology. The big political debate we should be having, we're not really having it, is how do you master this technology and harness it for the public good?
Yeah. But how about whether we should do it at all? Right, just because there is technology doesn't therefore mean we need to revolutionize our planet with it. That is the obvious debate. Should we do this or not? Then maybe we can discuss the merits of doing it and how. You see, they're just trying to skip over this whole conversation and just go, well, because it's obviously best for us, here's what we should discuss. They're setting the narrative. They're setting the debate. Just like the two-party illusion. That's how they do this. You're not really in the debate if you're choosing from things they hand you. You should be able to stand back and decide what the choices are first. That's not what they're doing. That's pretty damn clear. Well, therefore, technology, so you should listen to us. This is dangerous. And they're going to drive this in a direction that they want to go. I think that's very clear. And the only people that are allowing this to happen or wanting to are people that are on the side politically or who have been convinced this is the right thing. But where is your choice in all of that?
But in every single field of our work, our leisure, the way we interact with each other, technology is going to change everything. So, you know, biometric ID is just one part of a much, much bigger picture.
Yeah, exactly. That's the point. That's the one of these steps into a picture that they've already mapped out, right? What is that picture, Tony? Are you going to let us know what that picture is? It's our future. Apparently not. Apparently, it's just one big step in a plan we've mapped out 20 years ago, and we're not telling you. I mean, he almost kind of let the cat out of the bag there, didn't he? If this is some adaptive thing to a new problem, how do you have all these different metrics laid out in a map? Well, it's obvious because we know that this has been a plan. That's the reality. Thank you for Seek the Truth for sharing this. And here you go. This is the most obvious example of how this has always been a plan. And then it also can show you that this is something that's not just about COVID-19. So his plan has been mapped out, which goes long around, goes well beyond COVID-19, despite the fact that he's right now telling you it's only about COVID and that's why we need it. So explain this document for me. Thank you, Bernie's tweets, for sharing this. Government will introduce digital identity documentation from April 2022. The section is just hidden on your COVID passport currently. Which is not just absolutely right. Here's the document. This is published yesterday. Digital Identity Document Validation Technology, or IDVT. From April 6, 2022, next year, digital identity documentation will be introduced to support employers and landlords with right to work, right to rent, and pre-employment DBS checks. Oh, because we're in an all digital world now, right? Because it's all Zoom calls and stuff, right? That's how they're justifying this. You see how that works? So they led you into a world where you had to work from a computer because they shut your wife down, your life down, even though you were at risk. So they shut your economy down. Then they point to that shutdown and say, here's why we need to use Zoom calls now. Now they point to those Zoom calls and say, well, clearly that's the future. So here's Metaverse. Here's the future we're building around the things we did to push you into it, acting like that's just the way the world went. Then, since we're already there and we know it's always going to be Zoom calls and person-to-person stuff just going away and it's never going to be our future, well, here's the rolling out of our verification technology. Makes sense, right? One step to the next without really rationalizing why you want it or even if you do and whether or not it's the smart thing, safe thing, right thing, privacy. None of it matters. It's acting like it's a foregone conclusion to a foregone conclusion, just like he did. Do the UK population even know this is happening in April 2022? Did they even ask them? No, they're just acting like it's the best thing for everybody. And COVID-19 is not even discussed in this. This is the future. Here's it says, this will enable checks to continue to be conducted remotely, but with enhanced security. Here is what Australia is already doing. This is December 20th. Australia government steps up its digital ID efforts with new funding, age verification trials. Right. So is this about COVID or, you know, guess not. Right. Just for alcohol, for identity and wallet sharing, digital credentials. So why is this happening during the biggest pandemic of a century? Anyone explain that, even though we know that's not what's happening? That's their argument. We're all struggling in a massive pandemic, and we're all about to die if we don't do the right thing, but we're going to simultaneously roll out a massive digital ID platform for alcohol purchasing? I keep saying this. If you don't see how obvious this is, that's a choice, or you're brainwashed in a cult. Maybe both. This is obvious. And again, it's been planned long before we got here. So you should be questioning it if you think it's only about COVID-19. And don't forget, this document describes trials active since September and selected online retailers in Australia. The trials are using external digital ID providers using MasterCard. Oh, don't forget, MasterCard was tied in with ID 2020, tied in with the vaccine passports, tied in with all of it. It's all tied together. Online verification and ties into digitalized credentials and identity wallets for passports and whatever else they want to apply it to. It's happening right now in Australia. But let's pretend like this is about something else. So the real step, as we can very clearly see, that digital IDs under the guise of vaccine passports are being pushed right now. Let's finish today by pointing out the end game here. For those that have already seen this, you'll already be aware of where this seems to be going. But I argue a lot of people are unaware of the next step. Now, don't forget, we just played Klaus Schwab talking about that. He's already outlining for you how this goes. Digital ID, wearable, implantable, genetic manipulation. This is the future that they are talking about. Not me. It's not my opinion. It's what they keep telling you is the future. So digital ID becomes human augmentation. Oh, and what do you know? The UK's already got a document for it. It's almost like it was planned. This is from May 13th, 2021. Human augmentation, manipulating your body with technology, the dawn of a new paradigm. I guess they decided that right in the crux of a pandemic. That totally makes sense, right? We're all about to die, but let's outline the future. It totally makes sense. Here's what it says. Planning to understand the future implications of human augmentation, or HA. You know, make it easy for yourself. Totally normal. To understand how emerging technologies such as genetic engineering, bioinformatics, and the possibility of brain-computer interfaces could affect the future of society, security, and defense. But human augmentation could signal the coming of a new era of strategic advantage with possible implications across the force development spectrum. Well, that's scary, right? It's going to be good for you and safety and so on, but also for force development, right? Because developing your force and how you apply it using this stuff. I mean, it's not even hidden from you. And this is the idea. It's going to be military. It's going to be exoskeleton. It's going to be the way they apply this to how they can hurt people with it. But, you know, also making it to where it works for you too. Or both simultaneously, right? I mean, this is what people have always pointed out, such as things like the insect allies discussion from 10 years ago. I think I'm pulling that top of my head, but it was a while ago, where they came out with an argument, DARPA, about insect allies, where they were going to use insects to help crops. And then all of these scientists around the world came out and said, guys, this is a bio program. You're using a weapons program and hiding behind the idea that it could be used the other way. Still there, by the way, but that's what happens. So this is the same thing. I don't think for one second this is about using something good for you. It's about hiding something they're using in a forceful way or manipulative way under the behind the idea that it could be used for you if you have the money and if we ever even roll it out in that way down the line. Meanwhile, we're building the force development right now behind the scenes. It says there are mature technologies that could be integrated today with manageable policy considerations, such as personalized nutrition, right? Think about that in the context of the passports and whether you're doing what you should based on what they say is right for you for your passport. Think about China, social credit. They're deciding what is the right step, and then you have to apply to or abide by it, or otherwise you don't meet your passport requirements. Personalized nutrition, wearables, exoskeletons. There are other technologies in the future with promises of bigger potential, such as Klaus Schwab keeps talking about, genetic engineering, brain-computer interfaces. The ethical, moral, and legal implications of human augmentation are hard to foresee, but early and regular engagement with these issues lie at the heart of success. I love that. So we can't clearly see the problems, but the best way to deal with them is jump right into it. That's what it says. The same thing is with vaccine. Well, we'll never really know how dangerous it is until we get it out there in the population. Well, are you okay with that? I'm not. How about we actually discuss whether this is what we should be doing at all before we just justify that the only way we'll find out what hurts us is by trying it ourselves. This is crazy. Human augmentation will become increasingly relevant in the future because it is the binding agent between the unique skills of humans and machines. Okay, so who has decided we even want that? Well, the elitists, of course, the people that see their future of never-ending life being sought or achieved through the idea of human augmentation, through brain-machine interface, through potentially putting their consciousness on a computer. This has been discussed for decades. People with the money and the wherewithal trying to find a way to live forever in this context, or at the very least trying to find a way that they think this could help everybody. Either way, why would that not be something you have a discussion in, or rather a voice in? Do we even want to combine the unique skills of humans and machines? Or rather, should we try to find ways to make the machines help our human bodies? Or run screaming from technology altogether? It should be your choice. But the last thing we should decide is that, therefore, this is the thing we should do because future benefits, because elitists tell us so, because the media says the same thing. If that's what decides your decisions, or if that's what drives your decisions, I am worried about our future. The winners of future wars will not be those with the most advanced technology. You see how in the same paragraph, it goes from how this will help you to the winners of the new wars won't be this. It'll be those who can most effectively integrate machines with human bodies. It's what they said right there. So what do you really think it's about? Do you think they care about making your life more convenient or having that as a byproduct, maybe to being able to murder people better? The growing significance of human-machine teaming is already widely acknowledged, but this has so far been discussed from a technological-centric perspective. This human augmentation project represents the missing part of the puzzle. They are literally framing the augmentation of your body to a machine interface as the missing part of how we succeed as a species, or at the very least, how we fight off the bad guys. Typical, pretty much how they always work, one way or the other. Here is Boris Johnson making this claim in an interesting way about how our future depends on this discussion back in 2020 under a guise of COVID-19. Actually, I think I'm going to grab it right here. I believe I have it down here.
Today, people who are still actually anti-science, a whole movement called the anti-vaxxers.
Right, you know, like all the scientists out there, like James Lyons Weiler and Peter McCullough and Danny Rancourt and, you know, all these scientists that are actively using the scientific method, who they call anti-vaxxers, therefore they're anti-science. You know, don't try to make sense of it. Just listen to them and don't question it, because that's what you should do as a good citizen. Right? Call these scientists anti-science because they don't say what Boris says is the truth, because Boris is so intelligent.
Who refuse to acknowledge the evidence that vaccinations have eradicated smallpox.
I never heard them make that argument. I guess that guy on Facebook saying it means that those guys did too, because that's smart, right?
And who, by their prejudices, are actually endangering the very children they want to protect. And I totally reject this anti-scientific pessimism. I'm profoundly optimistic about the ability of new technology to serve as a liberator and to remake the world.
To remake the world. Right. So he's not even trying to hide that. We're going to use the new technology that we're rolling out now under a guise of COVID-19 to remake the world. That's the Great Reset. That's technocracy. That's the future they're telling. Build back better, they all keep telling you.
Wondrously and benignly. Indeed, in countless...
Oh, benignly. So it's okay then. Oh, okay. He said benignly, so it's all good.
Respects, technology is already doing just that.
Because they want it to.
I mentioned earlier.
He said nanotechnology right there.
Nanotechnology, I mentioned earlier. Revolutionizing medicine by designing robots a fraction of the size of a red blood cell, capable of swimming through our bodies, dispensing medicine, and attacking malignant cells like some Star Wars armada. Neural interface technology is producing a new generation of cochlear implants allowing the gift of hearing. A London technology company.
Okay, so the point is, guys, he literally described what has been called fake news right up until this moment. That's not some futuristic discussion. They've been just working on nanotechnology and vaccines for 10 years, for a long time, openly discussed. But you discuss that as even a possibility in your fake news idiot conspiracy theorist. And we're not even over here saying I can prove that it's inside of a vaccine. We're just simply saying, look at this thing they're working on. And as they argue this is the future, shouldn't that be alarming to us? No, fake news, doesn't matter. He said this in 2020. That's how silly this all is. We should ask whether that is something that's happening. I shouldn't be afraid to ask those questions. We shouldn't, but not saying we can prove it. But recognize as we finish off the show today that this is very clearly something that is capable of happening, and very clearly something that is in many cases, not necessarily in the injection or in medical treatment, but being adapted around COVID, actually happening. Now, we just talked about this the other day. I saw that Jimmy Dore did a show on this that's getting all sorts of attention, which is good to a degree, except the fact that it shows you that they're trying to couch this argument in the idea of a large microchip, which, as we'll finish off today, shows you is just ridiculous. The chip that they're holding up and pretending that we're talking about, the size of some little grain of, it is insultingly larger than what they were making in 2006. So let's not pretend like that's the cutting edge technology. There's a reason they're suddenly allowing the doors out there to talk about this on YouTube, even though the mere mention of a microchip in the context of COVID was censored everywhere up until now. Now they kind of want you to talk about this because this is the next evolution of the conversation. Right. And if you want to have an intelligent conversation about where this really goes, invite Whitney Webb on the show. Invite me on the show. Not people that are just barely getting into this and who've been attacking other people before this and so on and so on. But facing COVID passport mandate, more Swedes get microchip implants. This is kind of the discussion that was planted and the mainstream media is talking about. This was December 1st. But nonetheless, it's important to see that this is where they want you to be talking about this right now and see how this still connects. Following Sweden's announcement that the coronavirus vaccine passport requirement will be put into practice, the number of people who got microchips inserted under the skin rose, according to local media. So right this moment, there are people that have inserted microchips in their arms that have their vaccine status on them, that they're using to scan to go inside of locations. Just, I mean, reflect on that for a minute and recognize that that's right now what they're calling fake news. It says, citing a resident, Haynes Schobald, a Daily Reporter that had a microchip with his vaccine passport inserted into his left hand. He noted that all of his information about COVID-19 is currently reflected, this is the beginning of December, on his mobile phone when he simply takes that mobile phone in his left hand. Seriously? Do you realize what that shows you? That these mobile phones are already set to work with this. That's not too far-fetched because we're talking RFID. This is not new technology. But that means that it's set up in a way to receive that from your insert in your hand. Adding that this is a new trend that has become popular among Swedes specifically. Another resident has said that he has a chip inserted in his left hand, making him feel healthier. According to Digital Cultures researchers, around 6,000 people in Sweden have already gotten this chip inserted in their hand right now. Peterson stressed that those with microchip implants have now stopped carrying vaccine passports. Like all of you old troglodytes out there, you've got your big old clunky phone in your hand. Nope, put this passport in your arm. You can just walk around with that in your arm. You don't have to carry keys, ID cards, even train tickets. That's what they're saying. But because they're saying thanks to radio frequency identification technology, a wireless system comprising tags and readers. In 2017, the country's state-owned railway company announced that it started accepting microchip tickets with the rising number of people who had microchip implants, right? So right now, it's sort of being framed in a context of COVID-19. Here's another one. This is from the 3rd, 2 days later. People get microchips implanted that include vaccine records amid new COVID restrictions. Same idea, right? Same discussion, pointing to what's happening in Sweden. Now, yes, that's important. But to get the full picture of this, which is what needs to happen, not just what you're allowed to talk about, here is, first of all, a discussion from 2018. Talking about the exact same thing. So we need to first make clear this has been a long discussion that's been happening in Sweden and elsewhere for a long time. Thousands of Swedes are inserting microchips under their skin. 2018. So when we're talking about this, we need to realize that thousands of these people had this inserted before COVID. So those 6,000 people are not COVID. Some of them, all they argued was the number rose. Right? So the number increased, which could have been 5, could have been 100, could have been 1,000. But we know that thousands of them already had this back in 2018. So if it went up from thousands to 6,000, to whatever that difference is, not that many increased. So interestingly, they want you to think, the way they're framing it in the mainstream, which is how we should be thinking about this, that a lot of people got it. So does that make sense to you so far? They want you to start getting excited about this. That's why I think it's being allowed to talk about. This was fake news up until they started discussing it in the mainstream media, as every other part of this discussion, as we've been telling you from the very beginning. So now we need to see that difference, right? So they have been planning this. They've been trying to rationalize it. Now they're making it seem like everybody's rushing to get their microchips. You can do it too. Don't have to get your things updated. Blah, 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 blah. Okay. Now we step into where this actually has been. You've seen this as well, but we're going to go through this, and then we're going to go into some of the deeper documentation about what the Mu chip is. This discussion was on 2014. The Mu chip, which you'll see what it is in a second, that goes all the way back to 2006. The Mu chip, as I actually just found out, I've been talking about, an eighth the size of a grain of salt. Guess what? It is way, way smaller than that. Back in 2006. Now ask yourself, if they're pretending that this thing, the gigantic thing compared to what we're talking about now, is the future. In 2018, mind you, then we come all the way to 2021, where they're going, look at this new big clunky microchip. They want you to think that's where we currently are, not at the idea of smart dust, which was there in 2006, literally the size of dust that could work on your body's energy, that could transmit on your body's energy, that doesn't need an RFID transmission. Isn't that interesting? So now you see how that argument being had openly on YouTube doesn't really have an effect if we don't have the full picture. Probably why it's being allowed. Now, let's watch this. And you're going to be hopefully blown away with the reality of where this actually was then and where we currently are now and what could be possible right this moment.
patents. In fact, the whole desktop computing paradigm, it's a hack. It's a great hack, but it's going to go away.
And by the way, so this is Alistair Allen. It's what's called MakerCon. It's like a Comic-Con kind of thing, but MakerCon. It's specifically about technology and wearables. And he's discussing the inevitability of smart dust in 2014.
The devices, the computing behind those interfaces aren't going to go away. They're going to just become invisible. We're still essentially the banging the rocks together state.
And sorry for the podcast. He's showing wearables 1.0 to wearables 2.0. And the suggestion he's making is it goes from outside to inside.
Age for this sort of stuff. And you haven't really seen anything yet. So this is closer to the end of the vision. This is this powder-sized chip, and that's a salt crystal. So this is a small thing. It's something called the Mu chip from Hitachi. It's the smallest commercially available RFID system in the world. And it can be pulse powered by radio waves. It doesn't require a battery. Right. You can literally scatter this stuff like dust or embed it into a sheet of paper. And you know what the really interesting thing about this technology is? This was commercially released 10 years ago. So the inevitability of...
So actually, technically, that's 2004.
Smart dust. So what is smart dust? Well, smart dust, of course, isn't a new concept. It originated with DARPA back in the 90s. And it's general purpose computing, sensors, wireless networking.
I'm not exactly sure why the audio is not lining up. It's probably to make people think it's not real. It wasn't. Last time I played this, it wasn't. That's strange to me.
All bundled up into millimeter scale sensor modes.
How weird.
Drifting in the air currents. Flecks of computing power settling on your skin. Ingested, monitoring you inside and out. And if you don't think that's possible, this is the Michigan Micromote. It's a cubic millimeter in size. And in deference to the speaker before, yes, it runs an ARM processor. It's a tiny computer and it features data processing, data storage, wireless comms, and it's probably as close to the true smart dust vision from the early DARPA days as we've come so far.
Wireless comms, you know, on and on. Everything he just said. This is 2004. They have a thing so small that it's the size of a piece of dust, smaller than a piece of salt. And this can be spread like dust. Can land on your skin or anywhere else and use your body's energy. You can watch this further for yourself. Your movement, your energy, it uses your body. It doesn't need outside energy. And that has, it can send information. It can send in, as he says, two-way comms. 2006. So imagine what they're possibly capable of today. It's just incredible to me. 15 plus years later. And we're being told now to go, wow, look at that huge chip. That's the future. That's ridiculous. Now here is the new Mu chip in 2006 when they updated it. So this is the new version. And this is what he's pointing back in 2014. So I understand that this at the time was what he was talking about. But from 2004, when it came out, to 2006 is when it updated. New RFID with embedded antenna, the Mu chip. The newly developed chip features an internal antenna enabling chips to employ the energy of incoming electrical waves. So your body's movement and electricity to wirelessly transmit its ID. Hitachi develops the new RFID with embedded antenna, Mu chip. It makes possible wireless links that work using nothing more than a 0.4 millimeter chip, one of the world's smallest. It says this newly developed version, however, features an internal antenna, enabling chips to employ the energy of incoming electrical waves to wirelessly transmit its ID number to a reader, and as well as more. And he goes on to explain that in the video. And the chip can thus operate entirely on its own, making it possible to use the Mu chip as RFID IC tags without the need to attach external devices. This breakthrough opens the door to using Mu chips as RFID tags in extremely minute and precise applications that had been impractical until now. For example, the new Mu chip can be easily embedded in banknotes, gift certificates, documents, whole paper media, or anything else. I find that to be pretty compelling. Here's the next one. This is 2006, December 6th. So this one was at February, the beginning of the year. Here's December at the end of the year, 2006. Already the world's smallest RFID chip. It makes the next generation far thinner than a piece of paper. far thinner than a piece of paper, while radically increasing productivity. Oh, wait a minute. There was an image I wanted to show. I think that was, oh, it is right. Is it right here? Wait, where was that? Was it over here? Shoot. Where was that image? There's an image. It wasn't an image. It just says it in here. So this is the part where I updated my, I thought it was an eighth the size or give or take. Here's what it says. The next generation is far thinner than a piece of paper while radically increasing productivity. It says the result is a chip so small, so thin that it easily leaves the others behind by at least two generations. Think of, that's 2006. We're pretending again that chip, the rice size thing. These both RFID discussions. Like, really think about it for a second and ask yourself how they can pretend that that thing is the current. Well, this was happening in 2006. Same discussion. It says, how small is small? Consider it this way. The U-chip that has been in mass production since 2001 measures 0.4 millimeters on its side. So you can hide it. Where was it? So you can hide it comfortably under a grain of salt. The newest generation, however, measures 0.15 millimeters on its side, so you can hide about a dozen of them under a grain of salt. A dozen of these things under one grain of salt. That is how small this is. Oh my God, that's so crazy. You should look through this further for more information. The reality, though, guys, is this is where we are right. We are in 2006. God only knows where we are right now as they are rushing to jump into technological advancements under the guise that this is where we currently are. That's scary to me. Smart dust can be done, can be released in the sky. It can be blown in anywhere. It can be put into water. It can be done in any possible way they want it to. For all we know, it's already ubiquitous. And if you can't ask that question, that's conspiracy theory, then you're just being willfully ignorant to something that's clearly possible. Even, I mean, imagine this. This is the argument about what they made under technology in general. They said, well, if this is going to be something that's necessary, we shouldn't tell people about it. We should just do it. That was an argument. It was a study that argued that we should just let it happen because we know it's going to be better for everybody and we shouldn't do it because people are going to object. Maybe that's where we are. If that's actually being argued by some people, we should ask whether it's possibly already happened. And if you think, again, that that sounds silly, I feel like you're actively ignoring risks to your own livelihood to align with a political agenda. And to finish off, as Defender made very clear in the past, digital surveillance is the real motive behind push to vaccinate kids. This is from Michael Nervodicus, PhD. I read this in its, I think, almost in its entirety during a past show. It's obvious. The real purpose behind the historic, unprecedented push to vaccinate the very young, even against diseases like COVID that do not pose them a threat, is to fold the current generation of children into the blossoming global digital identity system. Don't forget that even the Shin Bet and specifically Israel's government were caught. This is when they proposed it, but they already did this. They were caught tracking civilian phones under a guise of keeping them safe from Omicron. Here we have Canada, who we just talked about, being caught secretly tracking 33 million phones during the lockdowns under a guise about keeping you safe. And guess what? They were caught. And you know what they actually said? Read the article. I just went over it. They're going to keep doing it for your safety. Okay, so what was moments ago fake news is now happening and continuing to happen because safety. That's COVID clown world for you. We'll be censored. If we had called this out before it was admitted or found out, we would have been censored as fake news. Now we're getting caught. So now we don't stop the thing we were illegally doing. We just go, well, now it's justified because danger. How many other things are they going to hide until you find out and they're going to rationalize, but we're going to do it anyway? Maybe everything. But you know why they're tracking your 33 million phones? To find out whether or not you are part of what they, people that are willing to do what they're told. On top of that, because this is always the end game. The ubiquitous tracking surveillance control network, which they're all telling you they need to keep you safe, of course. Finally, here's Klaus Schwab, as Ivor Cummings points out, telling you why this is going to be able to happen. Right, we already played the clip for you. I won't play it again. He told you this is what's going to happen. We're going to transition. We're going to combine your digital and your biological identities. It's all, he laid it out for you. It says, how the World Economic Forum and other globalist cabals are destroying our society with ease. Using corona psychosis, of course, they do it easily by simply buying up all the thought leaders and doing a Pied Piper on these people. And I agree. And if you don't think that's the case, listen to what he has to say. Klaus Schwab,
happily telling you why and how they have the control over everybody, it would seem.
We have, if I look at our stakeholders, we have business, of course, as a very important audience, and we have politics. We have continuous partnerships with many governments around the world. And, of course, we have NGOs, we have trade unions. We have all those different parts.
Media, of course.
Media, of course. And very important, and scientists and academia. Because if we are looking at the very important... we have trade unions. We have all those different parts.
Media, of course.
Media, of course. And very important, experts and scientists and academia. Because if we are looking at the future, I think we should look at new solutions, and the new solutions will be very much driven by technological developments.
And we even have you even have religious leaders, right?
We have religious leaders. We have social entrepreneurs, very important social entrepreneurs.
Exactly. Right. So somebody could make the argument that, well, he's just people that are doing it because he's doing the right thing and they're working together to fight for you. The bottom line is this is an unelected technocrat. This is an unelected individual with lots of power that you he doesn't need to ask you. Not like we should know by now that the politicians don't care what you think either. But this is somebody that you don't even have the illusion of being involved with. And they're deciding your future and that they're influencing thought leaders, religious leaders, banking leaders, political leaders, the media. Like, what he just described for you there is an all-encompassing influence network of people that are driving your conversation. And by the way, people that keep getting caught lying to you in the interest of that agenda. So it really comes down to whether you're intelligent enough or willing enough to acknowledge how obviously wrong this all is, even if you think that direction is what's in your best interest. The way that they're doing this has nothing to do with your interest. That's what's time we need to recognize, because it's just they're using your fear and your threat, real or not, to drive in what they've already mapped out for you. And that is nothing if not deceptive. So thank you for tuning in today and continuing to fight this with me, because guys, we are in a fight of our lives for humanity itself. And it's time to stand up, because we have seen this from the beginning around COVID, before COVID-19, around the illusions from before that, from vaccines and other things they lied about before, all the way through to now where they're starting to transition into the next step. And just like every other step we were calling, it's going to happen, and they're going to censor us before we get to it, and then they're going to justify it afterward, even though we were censored talking about it before it got there. Mark my words, it's already starting. Help us spread the information. I love you all. As always, question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.
What if the experts are wrong? What if quarantining the healthy doesn't actually save lives? What if wearing a mask in public is not effective?
If you do not have a mask, you cannot ride public transportation, sir.
My name is Dr. Jeff Barkey, and I'm here representing thousands of physicians across the country whose voices are being silenced because we don't agree with the mainstream media and the experts who are telling us what to do.
Everything I've seen in the last 9 days, all the things that just don't make sense, the patients I'm seeing in front of me, the lungs I'm trying to improve, have led me to believe that COVID-19 is not this disease, and that we are operating under a medical paradigm that is untrue.
Never in the history of this great republic have we quarantined the healthy. Never in the history of this great republic have we told churchgoers that it's illegal for you to exercise your First Amendment right of freedom of religion. Never in the history of this country have we been told that you can't go to church because it's non-essential, but you can go get an abortion because that's essential. Never before in our country have we let criminals out of jail
but we've told you you can't exercise your Second Amendment right and protect yourself by purchasing a firearm. When liquor stores are deemed essential, but your businesses are deemed non-essential, there's something wrong going on.
We cut off people's utilities this week and made them pay what could have been their last check to us to turn their lights on in a global health pandemic. But you don't care about that. You didn't want to meet.
This booklet, the Declaration of Independence and our U.S. Constitution, was never designed to restrain the people. It was designed to restrain the government. We're realizing that the fatality rate of this virus is in the ballpark of a bad seasonal influenza. Do not let your voices be silenced. We will see eventually that this government-imposed cure is going to be worse than the virus itself.
You're choking me, bro. Stop. Help! Stop. Help, man. This shit ain't right, bro.
Stop.
This ain't right.
But what's happening now is unemployment reaches 20 to 30 million people. Is those folks are now becoming dependent on the government. And what government dependency causes is a larger, more tyrannical government.
Look. He ain't even do nothing. He ain't even do nothing. He ain't even do nothing. Look. He ain't even do nothing.
We the people want to put our government back in its place. We want a small representative government, not a large tyrannical government. I'm here representing thousands of physicians around the country whose voices must be heard.
We've never seen where we quarantine the healthy, where you take those without disease and without symptoms and lock them in your home.
So you guys are asking me to leave the store for not wearing a mask when I have a medical condition, even though yours is pulled under your nose.
There's a note that says,
I don't have to bring a note, and yours isn't even on.
You just do whatever you want to do.
It's America, right?
Get out.
I cannot wear a mask.
Get out.
Do not let your voices be silenced.